Let's pray. You ever have one of those mornings where it's like all these little things go wrong? That was my morning. So let's pray. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you, Lord God, for your grace, mercy, steadfast love. And Lord, this morning, as Lord, we hear from the Word, just want to ask that you would take the Word of God, Lord God, and just bring it to our hearts, Lord God. Just bring it, Lord Jesus, in a way that we understand. And that it's not just head knowledge, but goes right to the heart. So we ask you that and believe it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, great. Anybody in here grew up in a large family? Let's say 4 kids or more. You grew up, oh, wow, a lot of you. Okay, since I've started this. 6 kids? 6? 8? 9? 10. Oh, come on. What is, you guys have a TV show? Is that what's going on? 11. 12. 13. Oh, 12. Let's give him a hand. He's still walking today. Still alive. Okay. Well, I grew up in a large family, but not 12. We had 6 kids. Nice little Catholic family, you know. And I was in the middle somewhere, and so how many know that with a large family, you know, things can get a little difficult sometimes, and it's difficult to, you know, for you to find your place, and it was that way for me. So I had, you know, my parents are great, but I got to say I struggled with my identity and just really the fact of knowing that I was loved. I never put words to that, but looking back, that's how I grew up. You know, and as the years have gone by, I look back and I realize my parents really were just doing the best that they could with what they had, what they knew. And so, you know, I love my parents. My dad's recently gone to be with the Lord and still love him to this day because he's alive and well. And he's walking the streets of glory. But as a child, growing up in a large family, I was neglected, some. And I often felt that I was on my own, and I lived that way. And as I got older, I lived that way. And there'd be times when I would just leave for several days at a time and not call or anything as I got older because I felt like I was on my own. You know, and I'm not looking for a pity party when I say this. I just kind of want you to get the feel. I never heard the words, I love you, from my parents until I was in my 30s. And that was just the way it was. You know, my dad was raised a Kansas farmer, and it was just the way it was. And so my parents did the best they could. You know, it was just the way it was. So when I was young, I resented these things. But again, I never really put it into words. It was just, it caused me to react and to live a certain way. And just like I didn't want my parents, I didn't know why I was doing this, but I didn't want them to come to my basketball games. I didn't want them to come to my track meets. I was into sports and things. And then at the same time, I had a band, and I didn't want them to come and see my band. I didn't want any of that. I didn't ever say why. They never really asked me. But as I look back, some of these things are just about, you know, I didn't have my identity. I didn't know that I was loved. They just didn't tell me. And you kind of get lost in the shuffle. So when I became a Christian, this was big for me. It's big for everybody who becomes a Christian. But this part of it was huge for me personally. God made known to me that he loved me and he knew all about me. And he did that by way of speaking to me directly by his Spirit. And I didn't know anything about that, but that's what happened to me, another story. And through his Word. And so I knew, not just here, I knew here that God knew about me and that God loved me even when I was far from him. I knew that. I knew, and I know that today. And at the time, this is not an exaggeration, I literally felt like I was walking a foot off the ground. For several weeks, I literally thought I was just so so light. It's like the weight of the world was off of my shoulders. God loves me. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does. And so that's where I was. So there's three things today that I'd like God to reveal to you in greater measure, even if you know these things now. And number one is that God knows about you. God cares about you. And because he loves you with an unconditional love, you can live in freedom. So those are the three things that I really want you to know in a little deeper measure by the end of my little talk today. So we're going to look at the Word of God, find out a few facts. And so number one in our little search here about the love of God and how he knows us. And number one is that God is love. Most of us can say that. Why don't you just say that with me? God is love. One more time. God is love. He is love. 1 John 4:16 says God is love. Simple as that. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God in them. So God not only has love, and we often refer to him in that way that he has love, like kind of he meets it out as he wants to. But God is love. That's who he is. His very nature is love. That's who he is. It's just what he does. And I think I can just put a period at the end of that. That's God. He is love. That's who he is. You don't have to question that. That's who he is. Number two, God lives in those who believe in him. Okay? Another simple concept, but incredible. A bit of a mind blower if you really get into it. Ephesians 3:15 through 19. Stay with me here. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? Love. Rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, there's a whole lot in that scripture. We're going to focus on just a couple things here. That when we believe in Christ, he comes to live in us. And this amazing, unfathomable love, wide, deep, high, long, infinite love. Listen to this. It becomes a part of who we are. When he comes to live inside of us, this love becomes part of who you are. Once you accept Christ in your life, you can't get away from that. If you're born again, it's in there. You might not let it out very much, but it's in there, okay? That's part of who you become. And it's something we need to allow to grow, okay? Number three, we have a family likeness with God. Family likeness. Our Father and his Son, Jesus. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Okay, so let's just kind of deduct from what we've learned here. If God is love and God chooses to live in us when we ask him to come, forgive us of our sins, he comes to live in us. Then his love becomes a part of our very spiritual nature as children of God. You know, and God loved us so much that he wouldn't just settle merely to save us from sin and to give us forgiveness, as great and as amazing as those two things are. He penetrates to the core of our very inner being, our sinful being. And he causes us by his Spirit to be born again. So he doesn't just forgive us, and that's great. But he actually comes to live inside of us. And we become his children, literally. So it's literally to give us something of his own character so that we have a family likeness to his son, a family likeness. Now, my wife loves people. My wife loves people. If you know her very well, you know that. She loves to be around people. She loves to talk to people. She loves to have fun. And you know what? I love to have fun too. I really do. Matter of fact, I love to have fun. But oftentimes, with my crazy personality, I make decisions that make it so I don't have fun. And it drives me crazy. Teresa helps me to have fun. And she never wants to miss out on anything. You know, if, say, we're both tired for whatever reason, maybe we've had a long day, whatever. Somebody asks to go to dinner, to a concert, to, I mean, whatever it is, movie, whatever it is. I mean, Teresa's just like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, okay. This has happened over and over again. I don't know if anybody can relate to this. Anybody's marriage like this a little bit? Raise your hand. Anybody like this? Come on. I know you don't want to raise your hand very high. Okay. So, yes, this has been Teresa's cross to bear. Our entire marriage is getting me to go places I don't want to go. And so she's gotten very good at it, and it's still not her favorite thing in the world. But she has a lot of fun, and she always wants to be where the action is. That's Teresa. Now, we have a new grandson, Charlie, and he does some of these things that make me smile because it just so reminds me of Teresa, is because he's just a little kid. He's like 6 months old. You know, and so if all the adults are sitting at a table, we're playing games, you know those little swing things, you know, that you put the little kids in? You know, don't you think those things go fast, like a little too fast? Anyway, that's just, I think that every time that they're just like, man, I'd be getting sick. Maybe that's why they're crying. anyway, so, you know, he'll start to fuss when he's in one of those things. But I'm telling you, every time if we pick him up, and I mean sometimes just put him in the middle of the table or have somebody hold him while we're all there. I mean, he's just good. He's good. He's where the action is. That's how he's good to go. And it's so Teresa, you know. It's a family likeness, and it's a family trait. And there's a lot of things I could say there. You know, we look like our parents, or there's times that I say things or make a, you know, something with my hands, do something with my hands. It's just like my dad, you know, and I really wasn't around my dad that much. You know, every several months I'd see him, and it would always blow me away. It would be like, oh, man, I do just like him, just like him. And, you know, my son does the same thing about with me. He sounds just like me on the phone. So a family likeness, a family likeness. It's a family trait. Now, if you're born again by God's Spirit, you have a family likeness. And it's the greatest family likeness that you could ever have, because that family likeness is love. So if you're born again, the greatest family likeness to your Heavenly Father, your true Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, is love. You have that in you. It's a great family likeness. Now, number four, the very nature of God's love frees us. Let's find out a little more about love. You might have heard this before, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. Love never fails. Now, oftentimes we think, well, yeah, it never fails because we just read, you know, how great love is. It does all these wonderful things that we hope we do in our lives. But actually, the love never fails, when you look at the original meaning, actually means that it never stops. It never stops. So it goes on forever. There's no stopping it. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? What a freeing way to live. Real love. And it never stops. So if God's love is working through us, and the purpose of love, and when you think about it, is really about relationships. It's about you and me and loving each other and loving your neighbor. And that's what love is all about. Love will always accomplish its task. So no matter what it looks like, you might really be loving people and God has, you know, maybe moved on you to really love in a certain situation which was incredibly difficult and you didn't get the response that you wanted. God's love never fails, and so that means it never stops. That means whatever love, isn't love a crazy thing when you think about it? I mean, it's like this mystery. It's there. Everybody knows it's there. They call it love, but it's invisible. It's wild. And so love never fails. So if you love somebody, just keeps going. Just keeps going outside of your control. You love on somebody, they don't respond kindly to you. Don't get down about that. Love never fails. It'll keep on going. Never stops. Love is eternal. It's an awesome thing. I should write a song. Love is eternal. It is relentless. It never stops. All right. Love. So, we've got the chains up here. Way to go, Val Coleman. It's amazing looking. Does anybody know what that is up there? What that's made out of? I don't even want you to know, so don't go up front. What causes us to be bound or chained, to be held captive? So, you know, the opposite of love is what? Let's find out. There's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Remember that, everybody. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from what? The law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. So what causes us to be chained, what causes us to be bound, what causes us to not live in freedom is sin. Is sin. Now, to break these chains, we've got the love of God, and that's what I've been talking about today, which is a huge subject. I could have gone 100 million different directions. But we have the love of God, and if you think about it, the love of God is what causes you to forgive people easily. I've been dealing with a lot of just different situations lately where people have not really forgiven, and they're chained, they're bound, and they don't see it. And as much as you try to tell them, they don't see it. You know, maybe that's you today. Maybe you haven't forgiven. And just one little side caveat here is, a great way for you to have peace in your life and be able to kind of see things the way they really are is to forgive easily. If little things happen during the day, somebody says something you don't like, somebody says something that's no good, you know it's wrong, somebody does something against you, forgive. Just forgive, you know. Don't let it hurt you. Just forgive. Say, God, help me to forgive. And I just want to pray for them. You know, really, forgiving easily is awesome. It will change your life. That's just a little side thought for you. So, God's love is not based on my mistakes. It's not based on my performance, good or bad. Doesn't matter what color you are, what color your skin. There's nothing you can do that will cause you not to be under the umbrella of God's love. He loves you no matter what. So when we realize that no matter what you do, God loves you, it brings freedom to your life. And this character trait that I talked about that we've received from God, this love, begins to be shown through us, and we're not bothered by what people say or do. Now, when I first knew that God loved me, it wasn't head knowledge. It was heart knowledge. I knew. I mean, I didn't care what anybody said. I knew. And it changed everything. It changed how I looked at every single thing. And it does still to this day. Experience God. That's the first thing in our vision for the church. Experience God. Well, you have to spend time with him to experience God. It wasn't just that initial moment when God revealed himself to me. He's done it to me many times. But, I mean, I've spent time with him. And, you know, I always feel like I should spend more. But even when my dad was, he was just about ready to pass away, and my heavenly father spoke to me. And with that love, again, of how much he loves me. And he shared by his spirit, I love you. I love you. And I love your father, and he's going to be with me. I mean, it was just another moment in my life. I know God loves me, and I know God loves you. And I want you to experience that. I was recently speaking to someone in the church, and this person's only been a devoted Christian for a couple of years. He became very sick within the last year, and in a recent conversation, just talking to me about different things, and I said, what's your spiritual life like through this incredible sickness that you're going through? And I mean, you want to talk about powerful. He chokes up, tears in his eyes, and he just says, he says, I can't explain it. God has been so with me in so many instances. He said, God has shared with me how much he loves me. And I mean, it gets down to as simple as that. And what I want to say to you about that is that when you go through tough times, don't miss it. Don't miss it. That's where God will reveal himself to you. Now, he'll reveal himself to you other times, but when you're going through a tough time, this is your opportunity. God will reveal himself to you. And he revealed himself to my friend. Seek God's face. Seek his face. You will live in freedom. And his love will cause you to forgive others, to care for others, to live in freedom. It's all about freedom. I'm just kind of going to walk over here for a second. And I don't know if you know this song. I might have played it a couple of times. A song called Think About His Love. I think the Brooklyn Tabernacle did it, but I'm just going to sing it a little bit. And if you want to sing along, feel free. It just says, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Think about his grace that brought us through. That brought us through for as high as heaven above. For as high as the heavens above. So great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Think about his grace that's brought us through for us high. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. One more time. Think about his love. Let's all stand up. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Think about his grace. That's brought us through for as high as the heavens above. So great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure. Great is the measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I get the worship team to come on up, that'd be great. One thing I was reminded of just recently is that not everybody knows that God loves them. I know people that know the Word of God. I know people that can quote you because they really have this lack in their lives, this lack of knowing that God loves them. I know somebody who was adopted and really some terrible things were said to them as they grew up, so they never had a sense of love from their earthly father. They had several different fathers, and this person to this day doing a little better, but she is struggling with knowing that God really does love her, and it comes out all the time. Now, that might be you. You know, and this life will offer up to you some tough things. Tough things. And nobody's exempt. It happens to all of us. And I want you to know today that if that's you, I just want you to know that God loves you so very, very much. He really does. But need not just to know it here. Need to know it here. And you will live a new life of freedom. Seek His face. Have people pray with you about it. But God really does. He knows all about you. The Bible says He has every hair of your head counted, which means He knows every single thing about you. He knows everything you went through. He knows what people did to you. He knows about abuse. He knows it all. And He loves you so, so much.